So tonight's the title of the Dharma talk is Compulsive Thinking, A Portal to Liberation? Question mark. So I'm taking a little different take on thinking tonight. Typically we are looking to quiet down thoughts and not eliminate them because that's not really possible. Talk about that a little later, but quieting down, right? And I thought I'd do a little different twist on our compulsive thinking. Another word for compulsive thinking I equate with compulsive thinking is rumination, where we ruminate on something. In Pali, the word is papancha, which I love the sound of that word, papancha. It means endless mental proliferation. Or just papancha. How one thought leads to the next, and on and on and on. How we can drive ourselves to distraction with our thought processes and often fixate on those things that frustrate us the most. How many of you do that? No, not you. Playing and replaying storylines, that's a popular one, especially about the future. Tend to kind of project into the future. Trying to resolve problems, playing out a conversation that you plan to have, and so on. So, how many of you experience compulsive thinking? I would be very surprised if anybody here did not have that experience. How many of you experience compulsive thinking daily? Yes. Hourly? Yeah, sometimes even probably every minute. That can happen. So I love this story of the spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle. He talks, if I remember correctly, he's on a bus. It might be a train, but I'm imagining a bus. He's on a bus ride, and there's a woman talking on the bus, but there's nobody who she's talking to. She's just talking and having a full conversation as if there's somebody else there. But it's going, on and on in all different kinds of directions. It's just stream of thought. And he's looking at her like, well, she's got some sort of mental illness. And he's observing and noticing this lady. And the bus stops at his stop, and she gets off, and he gets off and continues to follow her, noticing that she's continuing the conversation. And he walks into a library, I believe, kind of settles down and notices that he'd been thinking the whole time about this woman who's been thinking out loud. He'd been doing the same thing, only he was keeping it in his head, right? It wasn't coming out of his mouth. It was just the same thing going on, but for her, it was on the outside, and that's what happens to all of us on the inside. And just recognizing that if it's not one thing, it seems to be another. Endless. The mind searches for problems. It finds problems. It works to resolve the problems. And I'd like to say there's not, I don't see anything wrong with that, right? The mind is a powerful tool. It can solve incredible problems. It can imagine and create. There's so much power with a mind, but it can also create incredible suffering. I have a recent example, and I can share innumerable examples, but my most recent is that I'm a sociology professor at NAU, and I have spent 8 years working on a research project that has resulted in a book manuscript. The book manuscript has been with a publisher for over a year now, and it's in a stalled state where it's just in limbo and nothing's happening. And I feel like I'm stuck. And my mind just goes over and over and over again. I have very specific people I can blame. And the storyline of who's to blame for this stalled project. And of course, I put it on myself as well. And I have all kinds of storylines about my participation in what has happened to this stalled project and how I don't like it. And on and on and on. And before the book project, I was ruminating on family issues. And before that, or alongside of all of it, I ruminate on politics. And if only I could come to terms with politics in this country, then I would be happy. No, that's not going to happen. But there's this sense of like, if only I could get the book published or moving forward something, then I would be happy. If only I could resolve this family issue. Then I would be happy, right? So we're always kind of we can get stuck in these thought patterns and think that resolving them, that our happiness depends on resolving them. So the key to mindfulness practice is not to shut thoughts down or to come to some sort of resolution in order to find peace. Get it all figured out. And then we'll be at peace. I always say, like, the mind thinks just as the ears hear. I mean, we can't control the sounds that come into our ears. We just hear them. And that's what the ears do. And that is what the mind does. It thinks. It's a tool for thinking. And I think it's really helpful to just notice how the mind thinks, what it's doing, observe it. And the practice is to cease, not cease thinking, but to cease identifying with our thoughts. We're getting caught up in our thoughts. It's okay to get caught up in thoughts. I think that that's a very natural human thing to do, is get up, caught up in our thoughts. And the practice is just that when we remember, we can observe and we can notice and we can get a little space and a little distance from that process. So there's an exercise that I like to share with you that you might want to do in your home sometime. Just set a timer for 2 minutes. And during that 2 minutes, each time that you observe a thought, make a little line on a piece of paper. After you do that for 2 minutes, meditate for 20 minutes. All right? Then complete the exercise again and see if there's a change. How many lines show up before? How many lines show up after meditation? And just notice in that small period of time before meditation and after meditation, how much thinking is going on. It may not change. You may have more thoughts later after meditation than before. But what I've seen when I do this exercise with people is that thinking does start to slow down even after a short period of meditating, and we just start observing, noticing our thoughts. And as we observe these thoughts, we're just noticing how they arise and how they pass, and it can free us from identifying with the thoughts, right? Because who is noticing these thoughts? There's another dimension to who we are. Right? And so the thoughts come and the thoughts go, and we start, we're the observers of the thoughts. But what about when something really horrible is happening? It's very hard to slow these thoughts down. And giving in to rumination or worrying or compulsive thinking, it's not really helpful, right? Seems like, when something bad's happening, it's really hard to stop that kind of compulsive thinking. But quieting down and touching a deep inner stillness and presence can lead us toward wise action. If we are acting from this place of compulsive thinking and rumination and papancha, often we're not going to be making our wisest choices and our healthiest ones. There's an amazing example of Thich Nhat Hanh, affectionately called Thay, which translates in Vietnamese as teacher. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen monk. In December 1976, during a conference in Singapore, Thay learned about the desperate situation of refugees fleeing Vietnam by boat. Feeling compelled to act, he organized a rescue effort, securing boats and a plane to search for people stranded at sea. And despite saving hundreds of lives, their efforts faced resistance from the UN's High Commissioner for Refugees, resulting in the termination of the program that Thay was running after 3 months. The rescue vessels carrying hundreds of people were denied entry into Malaysian waters, and there was an impending storm, and they were denied shelter from the impending storm. And they were also refused food and fuel. So Thay was given 24 hours to depart from Singapore. And this was a moment fraught with immense pressure and despair, with the lives of hundreds hanging in the balance. And so you can imagine this situation and what may have been going through. Thay was response feeling with such incredible responsibility and recognizing that if he didn't do something, there was going to be a lot of suffering and a lot of death. And so this is an incredibly fraught moment for him. He was a monk since the age of 16, and turning to meditation for solace, he practiced throughout the night, focusing on his breath and his steps. This practice enabled him to regain peace and clarity, ultimately leading to the insight needed to resolve the situation. The wise action being able to come from just being still, letting himself be still and not getting swallowed up in the ruminations and the compulsive thinkings and the what ifs and the worry and the fear. Thay successfully overturned his deportation order, allowing him to remain in Singapore longer to ensure the safety of all of those aboard the boats. And this experience affirmed for him that even in the most challenging circumstances, mindful breathing can bring peace, clarity, and insight. So I really love that story. It's kind of sat with me for decades now, and I often return to it when I need a reminder, like, okay, what do I need to do in this moment so that I can come from a place of wise action and not from a place of frenetic fear and worry? So, like Thay, we can replace compulsive thinking with the light of presence. When we realize that we're caught up in thoughts, we can even use our thoughts as what Thay would say is bells of mindfulness. We can use our thoughts as bells of mindfulness to shift into presence. Once we realize this is compulsive thinking, just label it, right? Just observe it. Compulsive thinking. Oh, this can be a bell of mindfulness. Anything can be a bell of mindfulness, even our thoughts. So the part of us that thinks compulsively and fosters limiting beliefs, egoic identifications, and conditioned patterns of thought also provides opportunities for transformation. It's in the simple act of becoming aware of the patterns that this can serve as a portal, prompting us to dive beneath the waves and enter the deep, still ocean waters where the silence, where the peace, where the well-being lives. We all can go there. Even during the meditation, when I prompted us to like notice the space between the thoughts, notice the space between the breaths, in the stillness, in that silence, we all have access to those still, silent places where we dive beneath the waves. In the space between thoughts, thoughts are not happening. That's where to go. That's where you can go. So the most effective way for me to convey this is for all of us to undergo the experience firsthand. So I'd like to offer us a guided meditation on compulsive thinking as a portal into awareness, into liberation. So I invite you to close your eyes or avert your gaze, blurring your vision. And begin by taking a few breaths, noticing the rise and the fall of your stomach as you breathe in and out, or the air as it moves in and out of your nose. Allow your body to relax with each breath, releasing any tension you might be holding on to. Now bring your awareness to your thoughts. Notice them arising in your mind like waves on the surface of the ocean. Simply observe them without judgment, allowing them to come and go like waves ebbing and flowing. As you observe your thoughts, imagine each one as a bell ringing in the distance. Each thought is a signal, reminding you to pause and become present in this moment. Let these bells of mindfulness guide you into deeper awareness. With each thought that arises, take a moment to acknowledge it, and then gently return your attention to your breath. Feel the sensation of each inhale and exhale, anchoring yourself in awareness of the present moment. As you continue to observe your thoughts, notice how they ebb and flow, just like the waves of the ocean. Notice the part of you that witnesses each passing thought, and notice the qualities of that witnessing presence. Bring your attention to the space between thoughts. What are the qualities of this space? What does this space feel like? And also notice the silence between each word that I speak. Each word, like a thought, comes and goes. And there is a silent space between each word, each thought. Feel yourself sinking deeper into the depths of your being, into the stillness and peace that resides within you. Allow yourself to rest in this deep stillness for a few moments, soaking in the peace and tranquility that surrounds you. Know that you can always return to this place of inner calm whenever you need to find refuge from the busyness of the mind. Remember, your thoughts are not obstacles to your meditation practice. They can be seen as invitations to dive deeper into the ocean of your inner being, where peace, well-being, and liberation may be found.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.